Thank you for that. What a great song and what a great story in that song. Thank the Lord for that. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we are so thankful for the Lord's blessing today. It felt good to be in church on Resurrection Sunday, you know. Last year, we were not able to have church as in person. I remember that day very clearly. And preaching to an empty auditorium, just live streaming that. And the Lord helped us through it. But I am glad to be together. And this morning, the church was just packed. And what a great blessing that is. I know tonight there's lots of folks out with family and different things. And I understand that. But I'm glad that you're here. And we're thankful to be able to go to the house of the Lord. The very purpose on why we worship God on Sunday is because that's the very day Jesus rose from the grave. So that is, every Sunday for us is really Resurrection Sunday. Next Sunday when you come to church, it'll be Resurrection Sunday. We may not celebrate it as we do on what we call Easter Sunday, but it really is Resurrection Sunday for us. I am told, and I know this is true, that Vladimir Lenin was a driving force behind the communist revolution of 1917 and was the first dictator of the Soviet Union. He died in 1924 and his body is still on public display today. Periodically, those that are responsible for Lenin's body, taking care of it, have to take him out of the glass case and wash the corpse with chemicals and repair areas that have been damaged. Today, there's really little left of Lenin. Most of what you see is wax and makeup. Well, some years ago, Dr. Adrian Rogers, if you ever heard of that name, he was a great man of God, very faithful to the Lord, him and his wife, Joyce. They were in Russia during that time, and while they were there, they visited Lenin's tomb. Now, people are given strict instructions while they're in the tomb of Lenin. They're not to utter a word, not to speak anything. And Dr. Rogers said that his wife Joyce was always very careful to always obey all of the rules except on this day. Because as they came to every guard that was there, she whispered to them, "My Jesus is alive." She came to another guard and she said, "My Jesus is alive." And folks, not one of those guards made any remarks back to her. She knew that her Savior was not in the tomb, and she wanted to share the good news. Amen. Well, I got news for you. Our Savior is not in the tomb today. He is risen again, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. And folks, with that very thought, I want to speak to you today on this subject. Your responsibility of the resurrection. Do you know that today we rejoice in the resurrection, and we should rejoice? Today we are so grateful to know that our Savior has risen again. It gave proof to all that Christ had said. But today, folks, I want us to understand something. We have a responsibility now that Jesus has risen from the grave. What is that responsibility? Well, let's look in Matthew chapter 28. We'll begin in verse number 1. And I want us to read down to verse number 10. And notice our responsibility of the resurrection of our Savior. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse number 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now I want you to pick it up in verse number 16. The Bible says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, I want you to take very close note of what Jesus said. He left the tomb to meet the disciples. What did he tell them? Look what it says. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now I want you to go back, if you would please, in verses 6 and 7. If you have a pen in hand and you're in the habit of underlining things in the Bible, I want you to underline four different words, because this is your responsibility, my responsibility, of the resurrection of our Savior. Verse number 6, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, that's the first word. See, that's the second word, the place where the Lord lay him. And go, that's the third word, quickly. And tell, that's the fourth word. The Bible says that we must come to the tomb. We are to see the place where the Lord lay. Then we are to go and tell others about his resurrection. Now, this evening, I pray that God would help us to see Our responsibility of the resurrection. There's four different words, and I want to quickly go through the first two words and then talk about these last two words, go and tell. The first word was come. Now, this was an invitation to come. Jesus invited them to come. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now, by the way, why was the stone rolled away? Folks, it was not rolled away that Jesus might come out, but it was rolled away that they might go in and see that Jesus was no longer there. It was not the means of Jesus' exit. It was the means of their entrance. The Lord said, come. I want you to come and see that the Jesus used to be here, but he has risen again. So there was an invitation to come. And folks, can I say this to you? The invitation is still there for all of us to come, to see the Lord, what he has done for you and me. The second word is, that not only was there an invitation to come, there was an invitation to see. The second word is see. By the way, what do we see in the tomb? We see the love of our Heavenly Father. We see his love for you and me. Listen, the tomb speaks of our Savior's love. By the way, I think it is interesting where the Bible says that when they came to see the Lord, notice what it says here. We look back in Matthew chapter 28, and it says in verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And I love this. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Well, that's a precious scene, is it not? Can you imagine when Jesus showed up? There's the one that had died for them. There's the one that they had mourned and wept over. And now he is alive. He has risen again. And the Bible says they come. Why are they at his feet? Because they are worshiping the Savior. They come and they are grabbing him by the feet, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They see the love of their Heavenly Father. But you know something in the tomb? Can I tell you what we also see? We see the horror of our own sin. You see, our sin placed Jesus on the cross. He died for our sin. He was sinless. The innocent died for the guilty. Jesus Christ died for you and me. You know something? We need to get our eyes on the cross and on the empty tomb. C.H. McIntosh, he was a writer and a preacher of years gone by, one of my favorite, he said this. He said, there is power in the presence of a risen Savior to solve our difficulties, to remove our perplexities, to calm our fears and to ease our burdens, to dry our tears, to meet our every need, to quiet our minds, and to satisfy every craving of our heart. Folks, I want you to know something. The risen Savior, come and see the place where the Lord lay. But the third word is go. Now, you know something? Jesus told those women that came to the tomb, go. Don't stay here. Don't ponder here. Can I tell you something? When they were there in weeping. They were there in mourning. They were there in somewhat of despair. They were there to anoint the body of Jesus. They were there, but Jesus said, don't stay here, go. Now, what is this an application for? Folks, their direction at that time was toward the grave, the tomb that held the body of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they're focusing on. That's what they're dealing with. And folks, many are still faced in the direction of the tomb, knowing only mourning and grief, uncertainty and fear. That's their focus. That is their direction. But you know what Jesus said? Go. Leave here. Go and tell my disciples. Leave this place. Folks, on that resurrection day, those women had a dramatic change of direction. They came weeping. They came in sorrow and mourning. Their hearts were broken because the one whom they loved had died on the cross for their sins. But I'm going to tell you something. When they heard the angels say, He is not here, for He has risen, as He said. Notice what the Bible says. Look what it says here in verse number 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. You know something? They obeyed the commandment of the Lord. They just didn't walk. They ran to give the good news. The Lord said, come and see. Look in here. See the place where the Lord lay. Know what He has done for you. Now go and tell. The last word that we come to tonight is really what I want to talk to you about this evening. And it's the word tell. I want to ask you something this evening. Are you telling others the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are you telling others? You say, Pastor, I want you to know something. I'm very grateful and thankful for the resurrection of our Savior. Wonderful. You've come and you've seen the place where the Lord lay. But are you going and are you telling? Do you know something tonight that it is your responsibility and my responsibility to go and tell? Now, most churches think that, well, it's the pastor's responsibility. It's the staff's responsibility. They are to go and tell. That's what they're supposed to do. And we believe that. They're to go into the highways and the hedges. But can I tell you something? The Lord came out of an empty tomb and He met with His followers. That's who we are. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are believers in Christ. And you know what He told them? He told them to go ye therefore and teach all nations. The very words of a resurrected Savior was to go and tell. Now I want to ask you something tonight. If I were to say to you, how many believes in the resurrection of our Savior? Everybody would raise their hands. We know that Jesus has risen again. But if I asked you the question, are you obeying the words of a resurrected Savior? We might not be able to raise our hands. You see, folks, tonight, it is not an invitation to go and tell. It is a command to go and tell. It is not something the Lord says, well, if you would like to go and tell, go ahead and go and tell. No, the Lord commanded them to go and to tell. Folks, good news must be told. And we have good news tonight. I have said this before many times, but there are people at your job sites that I will never meet. They may never darken the doors of a church, but God has placed you there to go and tell. There are people, young people in your school that I will never meet, but God has placed you there that you can go and tell. We have teachers in public schools and in Christian schools here tonight. Can I tell you something? God has put young people in your path for you to go and tell. There are people in your neighborhood. God has put you there to go and tell. There are people all over this city and all over this county that we are to go and tell. By the way, I think Dr. Siss talked about this when he was here for the missions conference. But how often has it been that you've had someone come up to you and try to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? Folks, I'll be very honest with you. I don't know that it has happened to me not one time. Not one time. Not one time have I had someone knock on my door to share with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've not had it happen. I've not had it happen when I've been out and about where someone has said, can you read this for me, please? I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. Folks, it is our responsibility from the resurrection of our Savior to go and to tell. You see, the resurrection is the proof that the sin question has been settled and God is satisfied. We are grateful this morning for the resurrection of our Savior, and we celebrate it today. But are we really doing what a resurrected Savior has asked us and commanded us to do? Are we going and telling? Folks, Easter is not just a day on the church calendar. It's not just a day that we try to dress up. I grew up in the South where Easter Sunday historically has been a day where, boy, people dress up. And I remember my mom always making me wear something that matched my sister's, and that really bothered me, all right? I think that was child abuse, really, you know? I'm just kidding, all right? And if parents, if you made your boys dress match, well, that's fine with you, all right? And but anyway, boy, I hated that, you know? And usually, I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, most ladies' dresses are not, you know, they're feminine. And they're feminine color. And my tie had to match that, you know? And I didn't like that, you know? I just didn't. I don't think the resurrected Savior wanted me to do it, you know? And but anyway. But, you know, I grew up in the South where, boy, Easter was a big day. And we came to church. And, you know, I'm thankful that I grew up in a church where it was not an event. But many churches or many people look at it as an event. It's just an event. We go. We go to church. That's Easter. That's what it is all about. But folks, I want you to know something. The resurrection morning was only the beginning of a great, grand, and vast outreach that has never ended and will never end till the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you understand that the Savior left the tomb? And he went and he said, go and tell my disciples, I will meet with you in Galilee. And what did he speak to them in Galilee? Look back in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Folks, the resurrection lays hold on us with all the authority of sovereign obligation. Do you know tonight that I am obligated? I am obligated because I'm a child of God to give the gospel, to go and tell. Folks, the Christian church, and sometimes when I say the church, we think the church as a whole. We think, yeah, the church is supposed to do that. But the church is you. If we did not have this building here, we would still have Grace Baptist Church. The church is the people. And the people are to go. We are to go into all the world, reaching and teaching all nations. And by the way, when Jesus announced here, now notice the very first words out of his mouth to his disciples were simply this: all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, folks, tonight, one of the biggest hindrances to sharing the gospel is we're afraid to do it. Now, look, I'm as honest as I can be tonight that there are times when I'm afraid to do it. That, you know what? There's a little bit of reproach that if you're going to tell people about Jesus Christ, there's a fear of being rejected. There's a fear of being made fun of. I mean, we have fears. And I believe that's why Jesus said, I want you to know something. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, folks, for these disciples, it was a threat upon their life to give the gospel. They just crucified the man who was Jesus Christ himself. And listen, we all know throughout history that many of the disciples were killed. They were executed for their faith in Jesus Christ and for proclaiming the name of Jesus. We don't even suffer what they suffered, and yet we do not go and tell. You see, it is our responsibility to go into all the world. Folks, what did he expect of his followers when he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth? He expected them to go ye therefore. You see, this word therefore is the word that connects everything together. He says, men, women, I want you to know, all power is given unto me. Therefore, because all power is given unto me, and now I am indwelling you, go ye therefore. Folks, when we go, we don't go alone. The Lord is with us. He is enabling us and guiding us, and the Holy Spirit is giving us what we need to say. But we must obey. Do you know tonight that it is not my responsibility to save someone? It's not my responsibility. And by the way, it is not a work that I can do in my own strength. Folks, salvation is a work of God. It is a work of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. It is a work of the Holy Spirit that convinces them of the truth of God's Word. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings about conversion in the lost soul of a man, woman, boy, or girl. But what are we to do? Go and tell. We are to go and tell and let God do His work. Folks, all of the implications of the resurrection add up to the fact that the Christian is to go into the world, the highways and the hedges, because it is the command of our risen Savior. Because Christ is alive forevermore. Jesus could promise in the same context as His command that He would be with us until the end of the world. Folks, can I tell you something? When you go to that neighbor, you don't go alone. Jesus is with you. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." When you witness to that coworker or to that boss or that friend or that family member, whenever you witness, you are going in the power of Jesus Christ. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." You know, I remember years ago when I was just a little kid, there was times when I had to do something maybe that I didn't want to do and I was scared to do. And I remember saying to my dad, "Dad, go with me. Go with me, Dad." You know what my dad would do? He would go with me. I've seen little children before, and I have the treasure box in my office. And we've had families maybe visit, missionary families. And I'll say, "Hey, if you'd like to come in here and get something out of the treasure box," you know what sometimes they'll do? They'll walk over to the dad, grab his hand, and pull him in there, you know? They'll say, "Dad, go in here with me." Now, honestly, you know, we laugh at that because we think there's nothing to fear. But I think the Lord looks at us and says, "There's nothing to fear because I am with you." He is with us at every door. He is with us at every opportunity to share the gospel. You have opportunities on your job. You have opportunities in your neighborhood. You have opportunities in the grocery store. Listen, we should be soul conscious wherever we go because we are to go and to tell. By the way, obeying the command of the Lord is not just coming out on Great Commission night. Now look, we have to have a time in our church, and I want to give you an opportunity to go into the highways and the hedges. And by the way, if we don't have a set time to go, we won't go. We know that. We understand that. And we have a set time on Monday evenings at 6:30 to meet in the fellowship hall. And we get everything ready for you so that you can go and you can tell. But folks, we should be going and telling every day. Ladies in the grocery store, go and tell. Young people at school, go and tell. On the job site. Now, by the way, I believe we should do it in the right way. We should give an hour's work for an hour's pay. But look for opportunities, maybe on a lunch break. Or a time when you can give the gospel and not disobey your boss or disobey or be dishonest in your work site. But folks, God has commanded us to go and tell. Because Jesus Christ is alive, He has risen from the grave, there is something for us to do for Him every day. We cannot just sit down, sitting back on a religious apathy. We are not to stay at the tomb. We are to go. Jesus said, "Leave here and go and tell my disciples." And then when He got His followers together, He said, "Men, now that Christ dwells you in the form of the Holy Spirit, go ye therefore and teach all nations." By the way, this little word "go" we find in verse number 19. Go. You know something? It's a small two-letter word. Yet in this one word, it's the very heart of Jesus Christ. It's the very heart of Christ. Now I want you to think just for a moment, all right? Think just for a moment tonight. What if you met the Savior after the resurrection? I pray that you would do what they did. We'd fall at His feet and we would worship Him. And we would thank Him for going to the cross to bleed and die for us. And we would say, "Oh Jesus, thank you. And I am so grateful that you rose from the grave." But would you walk away from that and say, "I don't want to tell anybody about that"? No, I'm going to tell you something. If you left the Savior, you would go and tell. You would say, "Let me tell you about Jesus. He's risen from the grave. He is not dead. He is alive forevermore. And let me tell you what He has done for me." You would go and tell. Please don't misunderstand me what I'm going to say, but how selfish, how disobedient we all are when we do not go and tell. Folks, how careless are we? How casual are we about the cross and about the empty tomb that we are not willing to tell others? You may say tonight, well, Pastor, I just don't have the gift of gab, all right? Folks, I don't think it's one of the spiritual gifts given in the Word of God. Some people think they have it, but they don't, all right? I just don't have the boldness like you have. Can I tell you something? I don't have the boldness either. I get scared to tell the gospel to others, but I want you to know something. This is what God has commanded us to do. This is what the resurrected Savior has given us to do. He said, go. Can you hear the voice of a loving God still asking tonight, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah heard that question and he responded, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. You know something? God has told us to go. God is looking for servants who will just go. You say, well, Pastor, maybe I can't come out on Monday night, but you can still obey the command of the Lord. Listen, we all have opportunities. Recently, I've tried to encourage all of us to pray that God will give us gospel encounters day by day. Now, you say, what does that mean? Now, let me explain it to you. I think if it's something we are praying about, we are thinking about, and we are alerted about it. We are knowing that I've been praying for God to give me gospel encounters. So guess what? The Lord is not going to say, okay, you witness to that person, but don't witness that person. No, folks, I'm going to tell you something. He said to go into all the world. Do you know that you can never witness to the wrong person? I was sitting on a plane just recently, and right after the missions conference, I had flown to North Carolina to be at a board meeting at Ambassador Baptist College, and flew in one day and flew out the next. It was crazy. I actually flew in the same day and flew back the same day, but I was on a plane early that morning, and I was sitting beside a man. And he had his headphones on. You know, a lot of people that get on a plane, they put those headphones on, and boy, he went to sleep. I don't know about you, but I cannot sleep on a plane, all right? There's too many things to think about, all right, you know? And but anyway, when he took them off, we were getting ready to land. I began to talk with him, and he was heading to North Carolina for business. And I began to share the gospel with him. You know what? I could always tell when someone knows Jesus as their Savior, because when I began to share the gospel with him, a big old smile came on his face. And he said, sir, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we began to talk. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Well, I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But we had something in common because he knew the Savior and I knew the Savior. Folks, you know what? That encouraged my heart. I left that plane thinking, man, thank the Lord for someone else that knows the Savior. But can I tell you this? There are people all around us. They say that one out of three people have never heard the way of salvation. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There are people in our communities. There are people in our neighborhoods. There are people at our job sites. There are people at the gas station. There are people everywhere. Let us pray for gospel encounters. God, help me today to be so conscious. But Lord, would you give me a gospel encounter today, an opportunity to give the gospel to someone that has never heard the way of salvation? Folks, we are to go for the Lord with the gospel to a lost world. To go requires steps to be taken. If we're going to go, for instance, tonight you, in a sense, you came to church. You go to church. I know that's not correct grammar, all right, but you were going to church. Well, guess what? In order for you to go to church, there had to be some steps, all right? Maybe a little reconstruction, all right? You know, in the mirror, all right? You know, whatever it may be. You had to make preparations to go. Well, folks, if we are going to go, we've got to be prepared. Now, let me just say this to you. It means that we ought to have gospel tracts on us. We have gospel tracts here. In fact, tonight, at the very end of the service, I'm going to ask a couple of men to stand at the door with gospel tracts. And I'm going to ask you on the way out tonight to take at least one gospel tract and to give it out this week somewhere. And not just to give it out, say, here, I want you to read something, all right? But to say, hey, can I give you something that will give you the greatest news of all? You know, we just celebrated Easter, but Easter is about Jesus, and He rose from the grave, and He went to the cross. He died for your sins, and He rose again because He loves you and cares for you. Can I give you something to read? Folks, it may open a door that someone has been ready, and they are ready to receive the gospel. Years ago, I remember being on a plane. I was in Boulder, Colorado, and I remember we were supposed to go back to a certain area where we were training for Neighborhood Bible Time. I remember the plane got delayed. And honestly, when it got delayed, I was a little bit upset. I was like, well, I'm supposed to be there at a certain time, and I'm not going to make it. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit, I can still remember it, just like it was today. I remember the Holy Spirit said, son, this is of God. And I remember I got on that plane. I knew I was on a different plane. I was going to be with different people, and I was going to be sitting by someone, and I knew God had put me on that plane for a reason. I remember I sat down. Man, I was just about to bust. You know, I knew the Lord had put me on that plane. We got airborne in the air, and I began to talk to the man sitting beside me. And I said, sir, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he said, no, I really don't. I said, sir, what if you died today? Do you know that you would go to heaven to be with the Lord? And he said, no. He said, I've been thinking about this, but I do not know. I remember why I was ready. I was prepared. I took out my gospel, New Testament, and I shared with that man the news, the good news of a resurrected Savior. I remember when he listened. I can still remember sitting there on that plane, and he was right beside me. Nobody else. It was just two seats on this side and two seats on that side. And I asked the man, I said, sir, would you like to pray right now and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? He said, yes, I would. And I remember, boy, we prayed on that plane. Well, I'll tell you something. I was so excited. But I remember that a stewardess came by and asked us, do y'all need something? And here was this man. He had just gotten saved. And he said, lady, I'm going to tell you something. This guy told me about Jesus, and I'm born again right then. Well, that lady thought we were crazy, you know, and so she left. But I'm going to tell you something. He was so excited, and I knew that God put me there to share the gospel. Folks, what if I had not? What if I just disobeyed? What if I said, I'm tired? What if I said, you know, I'm out here preaching. I'm out here going to churches. But you see, folks, God has called you to go and tell. Will you go and tell? Will you obey the resurrected Savior? And will you go and tell? Now, let me put this in practical. Carry gospel tracts with you. Pray for gospel encounters day by day. Ask the Lord to lead you to people. Folks, listen, we should share the gospel with everyone that we come in contact with. But ask God for those gospel encounters. It might be, you know, for instance, I had this happen to me months ago where I was at a gas station and an older person was there and they were trying to get their credit card to work and all that. And I wasn't really paying attention. And I was trying to get taken care of my gas and all that into the car. And the person said, sir, can you help me? And I said, well, I'd be glad to help you. Well, can I tell you something? Boy, in that moment, I knew I had an opportunity to give the gospel to them and to share the good news of our Savior. All throughout your life, day by day, week after week, we are to go and tell. You say, pastor, this is kind of a different resurrection sermon. But that's exactly what Jesus did. When he left the tomb, he said, go and tell. And when he got his disciples together, he said, men, women, I want you to know something. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we know that the Spirit of God was going to come upon them. Christ was going to indwell them. And then he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Folks, are we going? Do we care? Do we have a burden for people? And are we obeying the resurrected Savior? Folks, tonight, it is your responsibility. And it is my responsibility. Let's leave the tomb and let's go and tell. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Oh, Father, help us tonight to obey what the resurrected Savior has commanded us to do. Lord, forgive us tonight of disobedience. Forgive us tonight of our lack of care. Lord, I pray tonight that You would use us. Lord, I pray for children that are here tonight that know Jesus, that they would realize that they can go and tell, and that You can use them and work through them. I pray for teenagers here tonight and all the adults in this building. Lord, help us to not live in fear, to not remain at the borrowed tomb, but to know that You will equip us and enable us and empower us to do what You've commanded us to do. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me. He has dealt with me in my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. How many would say, Pastor, with God's help, in obedience to a resurrected Savior, I will go and tell. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? I'm not going to have us sing tonight, but I think the greatest thing that we could do on Resurrection Sunday evening is to say, Lord, I'm going to go and tell. Maybe tonight you say, I'm scared to death. Just come and say, Lord, I'll obey You. I don't know the right words. You don't have to, but Lord, I'll obey You. Will you tonight just be obedient to the Lord? And can you imagine what would happen if the members of Grace Baptist Church would just go and tell? Wherever you're at, you're telling people of the Savior, praying for gospel encounters, looking for opportunities to share the gospel. No, we don't neglect our responsibility at work or to our families, but we go and tell. Father in heaven, I pray that You will help us tonight to be obedient to You. Help us to come tonight in obedience and say, Lord, we will go and tell. Guide us in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The piano begins to play. Would you join me here tonight? And let's come to the feet of a resurrected Savior and say, yes, Lord, I will go and tell. Would you come? Let me say this to you in closing tonight before we have a word of prayer. I want you to know that as a pastor and as a Christian, I have not always been faithful in this matter. The Lord has dealt with me time and time again. But I want to be a Christian. And let's leave the pastoring part of it out of it. I want to be a Christian who is so grateful for the resurrection of our Savior that I will go and tell. You know what? We are really not thankful for a Savior who died and rose again, if we are not willing to tell anyone about it. That word go is not optional. It's not an invitation. It is a command. We should go. We have the news. And I pray that God would use us. Now, tomorrow night is an opportunity to go and tell. And at 6:30, meet in the fellowship hall. And if you've never been and you're scared to death, come out. We'll help you. We'll be with you. And we'll help you in all this way. But if you can't come, then there's other opportunities for you. And by the way, tomorrow during the day, ask the Lord, Lord, give me a gospel encounter. Help me, Father. And by the way, you know, sometimes you know what we're doing? We're sowing the seed. That's what we're doing. And God gives the increase. God, He brings the rain and He brings the sunshine. But God wants us just to simply be faithful to Him. Now tonight, as you exit, there are men at the door. They have gospel tracts. If you would take one gospel tract tonight, if you want more, I think we have them in the missionary area there on the table, and you can get more. But so everybody can get one tonight. Would you take one, and that's your gospel tract this week that you're going to give to someone? All right? And may God help us and use this. By the way, can I tell you this? If you're going to leave a gospel tract, and I encourage you to leave a gospel tract at a restaurant, don't leave a bad tip, all right? At least don't leave one of ours, all right, at a table, okay? Get another gospel tract from another church or something, all right? But seriously, if you are not generous, don't try to say, hey, this is more important than any money I could ever give you. Don't do that, because that's not honoring to Christ. And may God help us. Let us go and tell. What would happen if this week all of us would go out, wherever we go, and we're ready, we're prepared, and we're praying, and we're looking for opportunities to share the gospel? You say, Pastor, I don't know. All power, the Lord is with you. He will help you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, tonight we want to do what those people did. They came to your feet and they worshiped you. God, we praise you tonight for dying on the cross for each and every one of us. But we thank you that you rose from the grave, alive forevermore, and you sit at the right hand of the Father. Oh God, help us to live in light of the resurrection and to go and tell. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be so conscious throughout the days of this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.